I'm still flying, and for me, that is an interesting analogy. And you need to be ahead of your plane all the time,
Okay.
because if something is happening, you can drive it, you can fly it. But at the same time, you have an eye, and you prepare long terms in advance. I think business is the same. You need to be ahead of your business, but at the same time, keep an eye on what's happening every day.
If you want to get stuff done, then you have come to the right place. This is the Get Stuff Done podcast, brought to you in association with RDI Worldwide, a weekly interview series with prominent and diverse people from around the world who will share their own unique insights on what it takes to get stuff done and their personal strategies for doing so. My name is Gordon Dudley, the creator of the Get Stuff Done project and host of this podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. We hope you enjoy this episode and would love to hear your feedback anytime. Let's get stuff done.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Get Stuff Done podcast. Today I'm joined by Erwan Vilfu. He is the current group head of distribution and also cluster head at DKSH. DKSH is a $13 billion Swiss company, a multi-sector conglomerate and a self-named market extension company. He's based in Singapore, but originally from Switzerland. He has an MBA from IMD School. He has spent in his career 20 years at Nestle, eventually becoming the CEO of Nestle Group Company in Korea, which is where we had the fortunate opportunity to meet each other. And he's worked across many different countries. He's also set up his own consulting practice, and he's always had a key focus on digital technologies, receiving more and more training and education in this cutting edge area. And he's also a qualified pilot. So I think he is a really good guest to come on the podcast and have a chat about getting stuff done. So Erwan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Gordon. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you again too, with the Singaporean sunset behind you there. That's a really good view.
Exactly. It's 6 p.m. So another 45 minutes, it will be dark behind me. Yeah.
Okay. So let's get right into it. And let me ask the key question that we like to ask all of our guests, which is, what does it mean for you to get stuff done?
Well, I think that's one of the most important thing you wanna have in your business, because it's great to make great strategies, but good strategy is only a good one if it's executed. And I think all along your career, you understand that from the small stuff you're managing to the bigger organization you're driving, getting things done is probably something quite complex. So it's very critical if you want to achieve some business results, not to get just a great PowerPoint presentation, but to get good results.
Absolutely. And how do you draw a balance between, like you mentioned, the taking care of the small stuff, but also the big long-term business corporate level type of stuff?
Well, I think it's something which is very critical, specifically when you look at the new styles of leadership which are required right now at every levels in the company. I think a professor in IMD came up with the terms of ambidextrous leaderships, and that's really something I like to refer to, because you constantly, in this very fast-moving environment, needs to, as a leader, to look at what's coming up in the future, be able to look at the trends, anticipate where you want to drive the company. But at the same time, you got a lot of daily stuff happening. And it's quite interesting to see that in our current environment, we have, I think across all the companies, everybody can agree we're more and more short-term driven. We look at the financials month by month and day by day sometimes. It seems that the decisions driven by financials are really looking at what's happening in the next days or next weeks or next months. But at the same time, because the whole environment is changing so fast, and we can come back on all these trends that are transforming the businesses, it's critical to have an eye on what's coming in the future and make sure that you prepare your company, you prepare your organizations, your capabilities, drive innovations to make sure you're ready to continue to grow in the long terms.
Yeah, I think you've identified a real challenge there. Increased focus on the short term, but that requires an even greater need for longer term vision and planning. What do you think are maybe some of the factors that have driven this shortening of the perspective when it comes to business operations?
I think competitiveness and the business environment probably being probably less easy than a few years ago. has driven the importance to take care of the operational cost and optimizing the business. On the other side, because consumers are changing faster, because the trends are impacting us across all industry in a faster way, we have probably more work to do in terms of innovation, in terms of bringing new products on the markets than we had in the past. I can look at the fast consumer goods industry where I spent 20 years, where it's quite interesting to see how many launches we, a company like Nestlé on any brands would be doing every year. I'm talking major launches or packaging renewals. So bringing new news to the consumers. A shocking fact, when I moved from my role in Europe to countries in Asia like Japan and South Korea, we started to face competitors which were launching 15, 20 products a year on a single segment, which was five times more than what we were launching. Definitely that requires a different pace, different ways to work. Now, to come to your question, is the problem is that if you're focused very much on the short terms on launching my new products and looking at the trends today, you might lose yourself. You might lose the longer term perspective and do a lot of firefightings without saying that maybe the whole market is shifting to a different direction. So to me, it's always very important, whatever we do, to come back to listening to our consumers, listening to our clients, spending some time outside.
Touching the grass, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I don't think we do that enough. I mean, I'm constantly pushing my teams to go on the field, and not only marketing people, salespeople, everybody has to go on the field, go and talk to your consumers. That's very refreshing. That's where you hear a lot of stuff, and some inspirations to drive your business. I was you talk about the way to look at things done and looking at the long term, and when I'm talking to my teams, I'm sometimes referring to my previous work as a pilot. I graduated as a commercial pilot and moved into Nestlé, but I'm still flying, and for me that's there's an interesting analogy you can make. When you're flying a plane, there's a lot of preparation work you have to do, but when you have a long haul flight flying from let's say London to New York, you constantly fly the plane. You have to look and check everything is okay, but at the same time, you have an eye and you prepare long terms in advance. Where you're going to land? How's going to be the weather? Alternate airports? What will be your fuel and the time you can remain over the runway if you have an issue? And that's exactly the same thing. I always have my instructor when I'm flying say, telling me you need to be ahead of your plane all the time because if something is happening, you can drive it, can fly it. I think business is the same. You need to be ahead of your business, but at the same time, keep an eye on what's happening every day.
And can I ask, when it comes to getting stuff done, what does a typical day look like for you?
I think I was reflecting when we started to discuss about getting things done. And interestingly, I've seen all along my career, depending on the position I had in the company, the country that I was working on. Obviously, getting things done is probably different from being intern in a company when you start to being on a general management job.
For sure.
I mean, typically, right now at my level, the complexity is that I'm handling multiple countries across Asia in terms of distribution, a much broader sets of countries. I have stakeholders in the countries reporting to me. There's a lot of cross countries projects, regional projects we're handling, and some of these projects are critical to be executed in the short term. Some needs to be started now, but will only give some results in the long term. So it's all about setting the right priorities. And my role is to help the team to get things done by setting directions. So we're validating, I'm challenging them on getting the projects to be or selecting the projects that we want to prioritize. But also, I'm here to make sure that they have the right resources, the right capabilities, the right support from the site functions. So I think I'm very clear in my mind about the most critical projects I want to keep an eye on, where I want to make sure that we don't want to be late, and to make sure you have some checkpoints with all the critical people to make sure that if you see something not working, you can take some measures ahead of the before it's too late. So that's what's for me getting things done, making sure also you define the with the team some measurable KPIs so that we understand we're going in the right directions. Lots of communication, I think at my level to make sure that the board, the CEO, support functions are aligned with what we're doing, supporting, making sure that if we will need to make some major investments, then the board will support, so the company will support to go ahead.
Yeah, I think
Which is which
the communication that you mentioned there is incredibly important. And I think one of the challenges that we have is that there's so many different forms of communication that are going on simultaneously within an organization. How do you go about thinking, or do you have any kind of process for deciding, okay, I'm talking to that audience, I should use this form of communication. I'm talking to this audience, I should use this form. Do you have any kind of specific rationale for how you choose which is best for which type of communication?
I think I learned a lot in my career. I think that's probably one of the most difficult part of leadership is to drive different teams. And yes, getting things done I like the topic because obviously if you look at the transition in the career, I mean, when we talk about the first transition, which is moving from being an executor to be a manager, and for the first time you need to drive people instead of just getting things done by yourself. You need to learn not to micromanage things. You need to learn how to motivate people. And I think what you're learning is that not everybody's motivated by the same things. And some people might have some hard times. Some people might be tired. Some people might be not necessarily willing to or setting your projects as a priority. So how do you create this excitement? How you make sure that these people are excited to work with you? So there's a lot of psychology behind that. Actually, one of the two teachers I had in IMD on leadership, and I really loved working with them, were psychologists. And we spent a lot of time to understand what's motivating people, how you sense through the attitudes, the tone of voice, how people are reacting, how can you drive them in a more efficient way. Actually, one of the teacher in IMD I had, Joel Schlosser, written a book which is great, called A Stage at the Table. Is the next FBI negotiator, and he explains that negotiating with terrorists is really about establishing a connection, understanding how you're going to drive them, whether it's a crisis situation or not. And it's not very different when you negotiate or when you're leading a team. It's really, you need to understand everybody in the room or in a one-to-one, how to drive and motivate these people. So I think when you grow in your career, if you're a doer and if you're starting to move into a managerial role, initially you make the mistake to think people are thinking like you, people are excited by your projects. You also sometimes get the challenge to drive projects with people not reporting to you. But when somebody's reporting to you, you might want to use a top-down approach. Please do what I told you, I'm the boss. Which you clearly understand at some point is not necessarily the best way to get the best outcome. But when you get somebody who's not reporting to you, and sometimes you would think that guy is lousy, he's not working well, but they probably have different priorities and your project is not interesting and it's not. So you need to find ways to motivate people. Now, for me, what's interesting is when you grow one to another transition, going to a general management role. For the first time, you get to a role where you have a much bigger organization, so you cannot get hold of everything. And you also have people reporting to you, which are not necessarily experts in the fields where you've been growing your career. So if you've been a marketer, you grow from a brand manager, group brand manager, marketing director. So you've been driving people at the time on the fields where you were the experts, and suddenly you drive a team of people from finance, quality, technical field, etc. And people who are more experts than you in all these fields, they're still coming to you for arbitration for some decisions, and you have to get things done on the field sometime where you're not an expert, but you're the one driving the whole company. So you need to try to make sense of all these things. You might have three, four fields you understand very well, but there are other fields that are pretty opaque to you. And you don't want to sound as a, when you're a CEO or country manager, you don't want to sound like I don't know anything about your job and people questioning you about why you have this role if you don't get anything about what I'm doing. So it's kind of a tricky situation at the beginning where it's quite stressful when you get this transition to say, I clearly want to be perceived as a great leader, but I don't have all the elements in
You
my hands.
cannot, yeah,
You cannot have
cannot have
it.
all. Yep.
So you have to avoid to fall in the trap of micromanaging people on the fields that you know very well. I mean, you need to let everybody be creative and work well. You need to coordinate the different teams, and you need to find ways to drive people in a different way, asking questions. I think asking questions is very important, listening. And that's what I learned along the way that a lot of people, I'm sure, are listening today are doing is instead of asking people to just do this in that way, is you ask questions and you try to make sense, you bring the right people in the room, and you get people to get out of the room being motivated because they think it's their idea, it's something they really embrace, and they will they
You know, it sounds so simple. Ask questions, right? Get feedback, get their insight, get their input, position them as the expert in their area, which they are, because you can't be an expert in everything, and totally change how they come to the table. And I think what you mentioned before, though, is it's human nature to, when you, the thing that you are most excited about, I think it's a natural assumption that everybody else is just as excited about those things. But you're absolutely right. It can also be quite a shock or surprise that people are just absolutely not in any way motivated about that particular thing, project, area, function, whatever it might be.
The challenge, sorry if I may add something, and I learned that through fantastic bosses. I mean, I was blessed to have some great leaders reporting to great leaders and challenging me to do things faster, think bigger. And I must say that's the challenge. I mean, it's not about getting things done, it's pushing people to respect the timeline and set some ambitious timelines and some greater targets. The more you get to a higher position in the company, I think your role is also to push the business to grow faster. The team would often come with problems, would often come with limitations, and your role is obviously to help them to find their ways. But your role is also to push them to get to bigger targets and get things done faster. I remember, and one of my greatest boss I had was a guy called Hank Wackman, who was the head of Nespresso when I was in Nestle. Yeah, admired the guy. And I remember on one topic where I came and asked him on the projects some resources to say, look, there's a great opportunity here. It's a 6 month project. And he got excited about the projects. And the question he asked me at the end, he said, okay, great, I buy it. You said you need 6 months. What do you need to make it in 1 month? And I laughed saying, well, that's just impossible. And I thought he was joking. He was not joking. He said, no, you come back to me tomorrow and tell me what you need to make it in 1 month. And I came back, I said, it's not possible. Maybe it's possible if we need more resources, we need invest, we need to coordinate, we need to support here. And we managed to make it in, I think, what, 1 week late, so in 1 month and a week. But I learned from that guy how you can get things done faster. And I think that's your role as a leader is to say, okay, this is the vision. This is where I want to go. I want people to do things on time, but I also want people to be more ambitious. Teach people how to do something greater. And I was also reflecting on the way I was. I think when I started my career, I love to sign my mails with "Make it happen," because I had this pride to be among the few ones that were successful because I was making things happen. If you were giving me a task, I could make it happen, and I changed that later, and I had this big poster of Mandela in my office later, because it was this great quote of Mandela that I like to use. It always seems impossible until it's done, and that's I think something that I like to portray as a leader is to always think bigger. I mean, if you bring something on my desk which competition is already doing, if we're just catching up, if we're just moving ahead, and competition can catch up in a few months, I'm not interested. Let's look at what we can do to make things bigger. And don't tell me it's impossible. Because I think I suffered all my life at lower positions of people telling me it's not possible. You cannot do that. And And I think in your topic about getting things done, I think what I'm interested in is how you get ambitious things done, how you really break the rules and change things for good, which requires thinking ahead, which requires putting the right resources, lots of focus on very few critical projects, but projects which are really going to change
Yeah.
the way the business is driven.
I fully agree with everything you said, Ewan. That's, I mean, nuggets there. And I really want to know, where do you think this mindset of yours came from? This idea that impossible things are possible. Where did that develop, or how did that come to be now your kind of leadership style?
I think it's a mix of things. I'm very curious. I told you I like to go in the fields, meet the consumers, think about what's the hidden problems we have to solve, and looking at technology, new trends, and see how things are evolving fast. So I think this curiosity and creativity brings you into the mindsets of doing something different. I mean, I admire people. I mean, the usual suspects like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. Not necessarily for the people themselves, but being able to think about creating SpaceX, Tesla, Amazon, these large companies, which, when you come to think about it, when they started, was impossible. I mean, how are you gonna launch rockets in space, or how you can create the biggest library online when the internet was not there? So getting people to envision something different and believe in it and create something is always something I found very fascinating. I had the chance also to have people that, again, were pushing me to do things bigger and greater, and I could see it was working. I had the chance to be in positions where I could impact things by bringing greater ideas. And I was a few times in positions where we had no choice. I mean, I think when I came to Nestle in South Korea, or when I was in Africa, business was struggling, and we definitely had to think about doing something totally different, because just going up, I mean, going on with iterative changes in the business would definitely get us to hit the wall. So you're sometimes forced to get to these dramatic changes, and then I think that's what's exciting. I mean, if you just come to work to do Excel files and PowerPoint slides and just drive the business like that, it's not inspiring. I think what's great is dreaming about what's the future, where I want to go there, and how do you get things done in the day, but also prepare about the transformation, the changes of the company.
And on a slightly more like personal basis, with such a busy schedule, I know that you also travel lots. How do you go about, maintaining energy levels, making sure that you're kind of, fit for the job? What are some of your personal techniques for doing that?
Or again, I'm repeating myself, but going on the field, it's for me the best way to recharge yourself, talk
Yeah.
to. I'm pushing to send everybody in the field, because if I go and talk to, in my job now, to the pharmacies, to the doctors, to the patients, you realize what you're doing and why you're going to the office every day. When I was in Nestlé, and then I love to go and take a breakfast with consumers, go and shop with people. That's great. That's for me the best way to find some inspiration, recharge, and know why you're doing it. On the other side, if the question is how do you manage your stress and your energy, I have a lot of stuff aside from my work. I play the guitar in the band. I still
Okay.
love to fly, painting, etc. And these are all stuff when playing golf. I mean, I love golf. Golf doesn't like me, but I think
Okay.
I was listening to an interview of Sean Connery the other day. He was saying the great thing with golf is when you play golf, you cannot do anything else. You can think about anything else. You have to focus on the game. I think when you play the guitar, when you fly a plane,
Yeah.
it's the same. You need to really focus on what you're doing, and it's a way to refresh your brain and think about something else. I think
For
it's
sure.
important to disconnect at some points and get wherever you go and do some sports, play in a band with some friends. If you play music, the music, or whatever you do, but find ways to disconnect. I think you bring a very good point on the energy, and I'm very good at managing my energy. I think I had this extremely maybe stressful or the many years when I was in Africa, where you had 23 countries to manage and tons of problems. And you go through some very intense moments, which at some point after that, you start to see things a bit differently. So as long as nobody's dead, it's okay. It's all manageable. We can drive the crisis and find ways to get out of it. But you're touching a very important point as a manager is driving the energy level of your teams, because that's some of the limitations I've seen sometimes on some of these projects where we're pushing hard for some transformation, restructuring, fights with unions, heavy discussions with people. And that's something you need to be aware of, is checking on your people, making sure that they cope with the stress, they cope with the level of energy which is required to handle specific critical situation. So in getting things done, it's really about understanding also again the state of mind, which is always changing, and sometimes personal motivations, because not everybody is the same. People may have some health issues, or family members having health issues. So connecting to people, being close to them is critical. There's another book that I always recommend to people that I learned that I read when I was at AMD, which is called Leadership and Self-Deception. I'll send you the names, and you can post it maybe in on the links. It's a fantastic book that really tells about the secret of leadership, being about really connecting with people, understanding a bit of their personal story to be able to drive them and get things done together.
And I think that the key element of what you talked about is that connecting with people is realizing that everybody's different, and therefore you need to almost employ a different approach for every individual. And I think one of the simplest, like easiest way of doing that a little bit more effectively is thinking about timing. I think it's very easy to think of, to always be thinking about your own schedule. I need to get this done, but what I'm getting done requires their input, requires them to deliver. And maybe if I know that that person is very, just as an example, very active in the morning time, that's when they get all the best work done. Maybe don't disturb them during that time with something new. Check in on them afterwards, or and vice versa. That little just adaptability on a person-to-person basis can make all the difference in how receptive the response, the reply is when you're asking for something or checking in on something.
And also, I would just add something on that topic, because I think it's important to make sure you get face-to-face live discussions. It's too easy to send a quick SMS, Teams message, or complaining about something, and you never know how the other person is going to take it. So specifically, if you have something difficult to say, make sure that you say it face-to-face. For me, it's important to be always very transparent, no politics, put things on the table in a constructive way. I'm going to tell you, I didn't like the way you did something. I think you can do better. And then let's work together on how we can improve on that and what kind of support you need. On the other side, always make sure you congratulate people and don't wait for the big successes to say thank you and praise people doing a great work. It's all about managing, again, the energy for the motivation they have in working with you and working in the projects.
Well, Erwin, on that note, I'm afraid we have to welcome in the silence and end this podcast interview. It's been a fantastic conversation. I've really enjoyed it, and we'll do our best to also share the books that you've mentioned, the links below. If anybody would like to reach out and get in touch with you, what would be the best way for doing that?
Well, LinkedIn is fine,
LinkedIn.
or yeah, I think it's the best way to contact me on LinkedIn. I
Sounds
usually
good.
accept invitations, and happy to have a discussion with anybody on any topic.
Brilliant. Well, once again, everyone, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Gordon. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. And to everybody who has, look at that, we're at the end of the podcast and the voice is going. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for listening to this episode and subscribing. I do hope that you keep enjoying and following along with our new format of double episodes, one in how to get stuff done and two insights with an expert. And remember, everybody, let's get stuff done.
Thank you for listening to the Get Stuff Done podcast. If you would like to be a guest in the future, please do reach out. Or if you would like to recommend someone, that would be awesome as well. Make sure you keep listening, as we will be bringing you fresh insights every week, because getting stuff done is something everyone needs.